I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time.
Okay, I am so excited to welcome today to the show one of my friends and mentors, actually, Miss Yada Golden, who has inspired me. In fact, if any of you guys have been reading my emails as of lately, they are all due to the training that I have gotten from the amazing Miss Yada. So welcome.
Yay, thank you for having me. You're so kind.
Amazing. I have been following your journey for quite a while, and I just fell in love with your style of communication, and it completely resonates with everything that that I also try to teach as well, is just making sure that you're telling those stories and being authentic to you. So enough about me. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background and kind of how you got where you're at now?
Yeah, for sure. So how I got where I am now is like accidentally. Is that an answer?
Absolutely.
I am 100% the accidental entrepreneur. I was raised by two self-employed parents and married an entrepreneur. And so I was very familiar with the world of getting it done on your own and kind of like bucking the 9-to-5 and all of that. But I never saw myself as that person, right? I was just like, oh, they're amazing, but like them, like they have something different. And it wasn't really until my divorce in the end of 2013, the beginning of 2014, that I found myself on my own, and I had these two kids to take care of. I hadn't worked in close to 15 years. Like, I was literally like the suburb mommy, right? The black SUV, private school, like going to the expensive gym, like the whole nine. And here I was now having to really take care of myself for the first time in my life and these two kids. And I was just like, the last thing I want is a job, but I have to make money. Like, what am I going to do? And so at the time, there was a real curiosity from our social circle about what had happened. Like, why were we getting divorced? And everybody wants the bad guy, you know? And it was very, very clear for me that there wasn't a bad guy. Like, this was a mutual decision. We had done a lot of work to get to the point where we were now. And so I did what I thought anybody would have done, which I've now found out not most people would have done. I just took to Facebook with my story. And I said, you know, this is what happened. This is what I'm feeling. These are the conversations that we had. I just really put it all out there. And my thought process behind that was, if somebody's going to tell the story about this, it's going to be me. Like, I want to control the narrative because I know the truth and I know how I'm perceiving it. And I know my kids are going to read this story, right? Like, this is really important. And so that's what I did. And slowly but surely, my Facebook following started growing. Like, I would wake up to 70, 80 friend requests. And I was like, who are these people? Like, what is happening right now? And I think that that's really when I learned the power of sharing your story authentically and vulnerably in a way that I was really just trying to help people understand what I was going through. But what started happening was that people started asking me for help and for advice. And I was still in a position where I had to make money. And thankfully, I was surrounded by people who were in this online coaching space. Like, my new boyfriend, which is my still boyfriend, James, was like, you know, you could just make money being a relationship coach. And I was like, are you insane? Like, I'm literally going through a divorce right now. What makes you think that I have anything of value to say to these people? And he says, well, they're asking you the questions and you learned a lot of lessons going through that, didn't you? And I was like, well, yeah, I did. He's like, don't you think it would be valuable for people? And I was like, yeah, I actually do. And I got so excited about the possibility of helping people tell a different story about the situations in their lives. That's really where, like, the story and the transition into, like, okay, you're an entrepreneur now. My business was started on the back of a $500 sale that quickly got refunded because I was a horrible salesperson and my person freaked out. But that's kind of where it all started. And from there, it was, you know, honing my message, learning how to market, getting better at sales, getting more comfortable in front of the camera and talking with people and sharing a story. And, you know, I kind of got the privilege of being around some really, really high level entrepreneurs. And for a really, really long time, I felt like a minnow in a shark tank. And I was like, everyone has bigger businesses, bigger followings, more money. Like they know what they're doing. I don't. And I once again kind of created that separation for myself until around spring of 2018. So not too long ago, I was like, you know, I've been in the same rooms with these people for years. I've gotten the same advice. I have the same books. I have the same opportunities. And I keep telling myself that I'm different. I said, but I'm not. I have everything that I need in order to succeed. I just either don't want it bad enough or something else is going on, right? And so I was really in the process of trying to figure out like what in the world is holding me back. And one of the girls in our inner circle, I'm in Russell Brunson's inner circle, she approached me and she says, hey, I read everything that you write on Facebook. I love it. It resonates with me. I feel like I could have written it myself. Have you ever considered writing for somebody else's business? Like, would you write for mine? And at that moment, I was like, I hadn't actually ever thought to do that. But writing was the one thing that I had done consistently for like the last 5 years. And I thought, you know, I'm making $2,500 a month in my entire coaching business right now. I can probably sell her a package for $2,500 and completely shift my business. And so that's what I did. So I went from literally making $2,500 a month to $25,000. I felt like Wile E. Coyote strapped to the back of a rocket. And the only thought like in my head was like, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. I was so scared, excited, like all of the feelings, right? Because everything I'd ever wanted was like coming true. But I was like, what do I do? And so that quickly led to obviously results in her business, results in other people's business, more people talking about what I was doing. Russell Brunson reached out and asked me to speak at Funnel Hacking Live. That was, you know, such a monumental event in my life because it was this full circle moment where like I was a stay-at-home mom that was trying to put food on the table for my kids. And now here I was on stage speaking to 4,500 entrepreneurs about how they should market to their audiences. And it really did happen accidentally, but I think it also happened through continuing to try and not give up and just believing that it was somehow possible for me to like be successful on my own.
Absolutely. God, what an amazing story. I love, there's so many things in there that I just want to highlight real quick is one, there was, which you touched on, but didn't completely outline, but really there's that mindset thing that all of us get stuck and really it's ourselves in our own way.
Yeah.
And then you saw an opportunity and use that and then saw an opportunity and use that to pivot. And it's just those, it's those little steps, taking a chance. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, look where I am.
It's insane. It's completely insane when you turn around and look, you know, where you are. I mean, we're very much in Russell's world, right? I'm wearing the Funnel Hacker t-shirt, but there's been, you know, the moment where he messaged me and was like, hey, would you be interested in speaking at Funnel Hacking Live? I was like, would I be interested? Like, are you crazy? Like, of course, you know, and it was this, I had all of the feelings. Like I remember laughing and crying and feeling like I wanted to throw up, like all in 2 seconds, right, of hearing the message. And then the lead up to actually getting up on stage was like, what am I going to say? Like, am I worthy of being on that stage? Am I really one of those people? Because I remember looking at those people and thinking they have it all figured out. Like they're not worried about anything. You know, they're the experts. And still inside of me, like leading up to that moment, I was like, I don't feel like I have it all figured out. Like I'm not an expert. Like I don't know why I'm here. And it was really realizing that that's actually the reason that you're there. Because you're willing to say, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. And it's that belief in self, that self-confidence, right? And I think that that's if I were to say the one thing that I've learned the most along my entrepreneurial journey is developing that self-confidence to say, I don't know all of the things and I don't have to pretend like I do because it's actually by saying, hey, I'm not sure, but I'll find out for you, that a real connection and trust and like a bond is established between you and a customer, a client, an audience, like whomever it happens to be.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you guys listeners here need to know about Yada as well is everything that she just talked about here and all of that nervousness about hearing that she was going to be on Funnel Hacking and be on the stage and all the preparation, like those have all come out as stories, very in-depth stories that have gotten shared in your content marketing. I love that because we get to experience it right along with it, which is, I think, why it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels, I think that's, you know, we're talking definitely about content and like all of the tools that you can use in your business to promote yourself and your products and all of those things. And when you kind of peel back those layers and say, yeah, I have this, you know, huge opportunity, or sure, you see me having some level of success, but I still feel all of those things. And I still feel scared or nervous or unworthy or not ready in some way, shape or form, or holy crap, that was a huge win in my life. Like, let me share that with you. It feels vulnerable and scary. And you think, oh, people don't want to hear about that. Or I'm just bragging about myself, or, you know, oh, I'm just complaining. But it's actually by sharing those things that your audience gets to think like, oh my gosh, he or she, like they're just like me. You know, they're maybe just a couple steps ahead of me, or holy crap, they went through those same feelings of not feeling good enough or feeling like, you know, everybody was different than they were. And that creates a space where they can actually step in and have the conversation with you, right? Because when you ask someone to fill out an application, or when you ask them to schedule a sales call or a strategy session or whatever, discovery call, whatever you want to call it, it's, you're asking them to admit that they have a problem, that they have a challenge, that they're facing an obstacle that they've not been able to overcome on their own. And that is difficult for people. Yet, if you are able to say, hey, I've been through this challenge, obstacle, or difficulty before, and this is how I got myself through it. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Or are you in a situation similar to that? Like, go ahead and let me know. Then they're like, oh, if I tell them, if I tell her that I'm in the same situation, she's not going to judge me. I'm not going to feel less than. And so now it feels safe to actually reach out and open up about what's really going on. So it makes that whole exchange like a lot easier.
1000%. And it's playing that hero's journey without like, oh, I have to like think through the steps of the hero's journey. And then all of a sudden, like you said, you're the accidental leader and you're like, oh, look what I did. And people resonate. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool. And it's, you know, I know we were talking, I think the day before yesterday, or maybe even yesterday, and you said, you know, I wrote an email about like my eyelashes and how that's kind of like business. And I think that when you actually let somebody in close enough that your hero's journey is the day-to-day moments and the day-to-day ahas and, you know, lessons and things that you're learning, then they're really on that journey with you, right? Like, like at some point you had to think, oh man, as I'm getting my lashes filled or whatever your story was, like, this is kind of like that. And being able to share that in a really quick, consumable way that brings people on that ride with you is like, I think it's so powerful, because then people really do feel like they know you. Like they're just like, I know the thoughts that are going through her head. And sure, they're not all of them, but these are the things that are shaped. These are the moments and the stories and the lessons that you're gathering as you go that are shaping who you are, and that inevitably will shape your products and your courses and your services and all of those things. And so if people resonate with it in the day to day, they're of course going to resonate with you, like, in on the macro, right?
Right. Yeah. And then it's so fun. It's a little bit creepy, but also a little bit fun. Like when you go to conferences, then people come up and start talking to you as if you know them and you have no clue who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of creeps me out when people are like, how are Isaac and Sophie? And I'm like, who are you? You know, but those are my kids. And I talk about them all the time, you know, because honestly, like they're some of my biggest teachers. Like they show me all kinds of things, like frustrations and happiness and, you know, patterns and all of the things.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I love most about your style and your method is like, there's a story in every single thing you do and that you witness, and all you have to do is just be observant. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the most powerful things that we all have is our perspective. then we minimize it and we undervalue it. But when someone comes to you for your expertise, they're really coming to you for your perspective. Like, how do you see this, right? Like, you see content creation in a very, very particular way based on your life experiences and how, like, something has shaped that lens for you, right? My approach to email marketing and to, you know, nurturing an audience and investing in an audience is very much shaped by relationship, right? Because all of the lessons, most of the lessons that I learned were learned in a really hard way, like going through a divorce and then helping other people decide whether they were going to stay or they were going to go. I was like, if people could just show up and allow themselves to be seen for everything they are and everything they aren't, everyone would be immensely happier. And so I'm like, why not bring that to a relationship one to many, which is what we're in as entrepreneurs with our audiences, right? Because we may think like, oh my gosh, I'm sending this email out to 10 people or 300 people or 3,000 or 30,000, however many people you want. And to us, it feels like I'm on stage. If I say the wrong thing, I need to be perfect. I need to look like I have my shit together, right? But to the person receiving the email, it's still just Jen talking to them. Like, our communication is one to many, but they receive it one to one. And so if we can just kind of take a step back and realize that we have an opportunity to really, really connect with one person versus putting ourselves on stage in front of 300,000, it changes it, right? Because you now can be yourself and you can now relax and really have a one-on-one conversation.
Yes, absolutely. I love that tip. So amazing. One-to-one conversation, guys, even if we're one to many. Yes, all right. Exactly. So let's talk tactical. So I know that obviously, honestly, you guys, I'm going to recommend it 1,000%. Go take Yada's subscriber revamp challenge and sign up for the VIP access. That is what I did. And it was amazing, but all plugs aside.
Oh, well, thank you. You did my job for me.
I know, right? Little commercial sale. For people getting started, what are some great getting started steps that you put out there for recommendations?
Read Russell's books, first and foremost. Oh, we have a guest.
Oh. Cat appearance.
Yeah, read Russell's books for sure. Expert Secrets changed my life. It's an amazing book, and you can get it for pretty much free. Just, you're going to fall down the funnel rabbit hole, and then it'll be really expensive. But that's a great place to start, just to get your mind right in the sense that none of us ever feels ready to lead people. Right? And we all think there's someone who knows more, there's somebody who's already doing this. But that book really helped me understand that if I'm going through something or have gone through something, all I need to do is be a couple steps ahead on the journey than somebody else, and I'm able to help them, right? And that was a huge, huge epiphany for me. I was like, wow, I really understand that. Next, it would be, you know, if you don't have a list, like if you're really just starting and you don't have an audience yet and you're just like, holy crap, this all sounds amazing. Like, I want to make money from sending people emails. How do I even get to that point? It's really finding out and doing your homework about who is it that you want to serve, right? Who is your ideal person? A mistake that I see a lot of people make is that they're like, I can help everyone. And when you market to everyone, you market to no one. And so getting really, really specific about, you know, I help women who are 35 to 45, who have two children and have a median household income of $80,000, that feel this way, that think these thoughts, that, you know, whatever that is. And I think that the fear that most entrepreneurs have is that, well, I'm limiting myself. And it's like, no, you're actually getting really, really targeted to somebody who's going to be able to say yes. Because with your marketing, with your message, with your lead magnet, you've got to be able to enter the conversation that's already going on in somebody's head. And the conversation that's going on in Susie's mind is very different than the conversation that's going on in Joel's mind, right? So we need to put out different bait. I hate using that word, but bait to attract the right fish, right? Yep. And so that's what your marketing really should be. And whether you're doing that on a Facebook page, because that's all you have available to you, or your Facebook profile, or you're actually running ads to a lead magnet that's going to give them some value and invite them into your list, right? In exchange where I'm going to say, hey, I'll give you this information if you give me your email address. And so that's kind of where I would start. And then obviously past that, once you do actually have somebody on your list, and your list could be on social media, it can be email, it can be, you know, a number of different places. It can be podcast listeners, it can be a YouTube channel, is really starting to invest in that audience and answering the 6 questions that I believe every single prospect has on their mind. And these are the first 6 emails that I send out to anyone. I actually just wrote them for my audience, so they start going out today. I think the first one went today. So the first question is, who are you? Or like, why should I care? Why should I listen to you? The second question is, where'd you come from? Right? Like, why are you in my inbox right now? Why should I listen to you? What do you do? How did you learn it, or how did you earn it? Russell talks about this a lot, right? You either study something or life happens and you're like, oh, I earned this one, blood, sweat, and tears. Who do you do it for? And then how can you do it for me, right? So that allows you to really showcase who you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, what you're passionate about, how you earned it or learned it. Show some case studies. Give me some testimonials about people that you've done this for, and then tell me how you can do it for me, right? Like, those are what I would call a warm-up sequence. Russell might call it an indoctrination sequence. Some people call it a soap opera sequence. Like, it's just a sequence of emails that's leading somebody to an understanding of who you and your business are and how you guys can engage with each other. And then past that, it's really about, I believe, investing in your list, right? I kind of look at a list like a bank account. Like, you can't go to your bank account and just withdraw and withdraw and withdraw, because you're going to get overdrafted at some point, right? And we all have that friend who only comes around and calls when they need something. Don't be that guy, right? Like, don't be that person. So with your audience, what that looks like is you're going to warm them up. You're probably going to make them an offer. And some people are going to take you up on it. Some people aren't. But after that offer, you're going to say, hey, here's some value. Here's some information. Here's some stories about what I'm doing or what I'm thinking. You're going to put some money back in that account, right? And then you're going to send another sales sequence. So that's the pattern that I really like to see. It's like, I'm going to make deposits and I'm going to make withdrawals. And those are going to look like investments in my audience and their education and their development, and then a sales sequence so that I can kind of get some of that back out.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. There's so much in there. Amazing. Let's see. I'm going to work backwards and make sure I don't forget anything. So invest. I love the idea of investing back in your list. For sure. Because we are all on those lists where every time an email comes through, you're like, what are they selling now? Like, yeah. I don't even want to open your email, which is why some people are like, email's dead, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just having the right message and resonating. So I love that so, so much. The 6 steps, that's a perfect, perfect sequence. You guys make sure that that's outlined and you're following that. And let's see, then we were working backwards into, avatar work. So I have a question for you. So here's my theory on avatar work.
Okay.
I think it's super important
to
focus down, like you said, into the mind of Susie, who's this age, who's thinking this. And I think largely, so that you can focus your message so that you can actually think about talking to that person one-to-one and you know that you're solving her needs, but also know that that message may also resonate with other people who are outside of that. So just because you're focusing here to come up with your specific message doesn't mean that it's still going to not attract other people. So.
Oh, completely. Completely. And you also may have more than one avatar, and that's okay. Right. But I just got off the phone with a financial planner in Canada, and he's like, I can help everyone. And I was like, I totally get it, but no, I was like, you need, like, he's like, I wrote a lead magnet. And I was like, okay, what is it? You know? And he says, it's 3 things the bank doesn't want you to know, and 12 tactics or 12 tips to make it better. And I was like, that speaks to nobody. Right. I was like, well, tell me a little bit about who you can help. And he's like, well, you know, there's like really financially savvy 20-some-year-olds that want to get a jump on things. There's, you know, baby boomers who are looking to downsize. There are, 40 to 50s who are looking to pay for college and all this stuff. And I was like, awesome. Those are all different lead magnets that you got to put out, because you might even just change the title of your lead magnet and say, you know, three things that the bank doesn't want you to know in your 20s, three things the bank doesn't want you to know as a retiree, three things the bank doesn't want you to know when you're putting your kids off to college, right? And like now you're actually talking to somebody, you're like reaching out and grabbing them where they're at. And so don't think that, well, just because I'm going to talk to Susie, I'm not going to talk to Jane or to Jill or to Linda down the street. No, you will, but focus on one person, get that thing working, and then move on to the next person, right? So that, yeah, you got to like, I feel like I see people spread themselves so thin sometimes trying to like grow their list like super fast. And it's like, just have some patience. Like it will happen. And you don't have to have a big list, does not necessarily equal a lot of money coming your way. You can have a huge list that is unengaged and it's worthless. You can also have like Agnes, who was in our VIP group, right? She had 500 people on her list and made a $9,000 sale. I was like, yeah, you're crushing it. You are crushing it. You're making $18 per person. Sure, it was that month, right? But she made $18 per person. Russell says you're a good marketer if you're making $1 per subscriber, right? I was like, you're crushing it. Yep. So it's not the size of the list. It's what you do with it.
I feel like that should be on a t-shirt. Oh my gosh. Okay. Common mistakes that you see people make and how to avoid them.
All right. So my number one pet peeve, and I know you know this because I like say ad nauseum in the group. When you have an audience and you've accidentally or intentionally or life got in the way and you've ignored them, you've ghosted them, do not apologize when you come back. Like that is the number one thing I see people do. And I'm like, stop it. Like, don't apologize to your list. At the end of the day, you are under no obligation. Like you did not sign a blood contract with these people that you were going to email them every day or every week or every month. Like you are a business owner who is providing value to your audience on your terms. Right. Yeah. And I don't care how many people out there say you're supposed to email your list every single day. You're supposed to sell as much as you possibly can. I'm like, you know what? You guys can shove it because I'm going to do what actually works for me. Like for real, I'm going to do what works for me. And I have, like, I just wrote this sequence I was telling you guys about. It's going out in the 6th email. I'm like, hey, listen, guys, you just received 6 emails from me in the course of a week. And that is probably the most emails you're ever going to get from me at one time. I want to email you. Like there are a lot of people that toe the line that you should email every single week or every single day, but that just isn't me. Cause it's not. I'm like, I'm going to email you when I feel like I have something to say that's going to add value to your life. And if I ever promote somebody else's product, somebody else's work, somebody else's event, it's because I genuinely feel that it's going to add value to you. Right? So I'm like, upfront contract, upfront communication. This is what it's going to look like to be on my list. If you're only here because you wanted to swipe my indoctrination sequence, this is the end of it. Right? Like I literally did. I was just like, hey, congratulations. This is it. I even marked them for them. I'm like, hey, this is email 1 of 6. Don't worry about it. Have it. Right? But that's the number one. That's the number one mistake I see. Number two is not respecting your reader. I think that in this day and age, we all know that the CEO or the entrepreneur of a company isn't sitting down at their desk every morning writing to Jennifer. Right? Like there is an email blast that's going out or there's an automation or something behind the scenes and putting somebody's name in an email. Yes. People like are like, oh, you know, the sound of your name is your favorite sound in the entire world. Yeah. When you mean it, right? Like I don't want an email that's like, dear Yada, how is your Friday? And I was like, really, dude, come on. Like, I know that this is going out to 1,000,001 people. And the worst faux pas of all is when you actually see the hashtag first name in there because their automation got screwed up. It's happened to everybody, you know? And so I'm like, why not put that aside and just be real and talk to your audience like they're your friends, you know? Like I write to my audience as if they were my best friends. And the number one comment I get back is like, oh, I feel like you're really there, like having a cup of coffee with me, telling me this story. And I'm like, well, cause I am. Like I really actually am. So there's that. And then another mistake I see a lot is, okay, two things. Making sales, trying to make sales all the time. So every single email has an offer. That drives me nuts because I think that you need to invest and then withdraw. And number two is if you do make an offer, making more than one offer in the email, right? Like if you want this, you can go here. And if you want that, you can go there. And if you want to just talk to me, then you can go here. It's like, what do you want me? I don't know, I'm confused. And a confused mind never buys. Now, the only exception to that would be the sixth email that I was talking about in the warm-up sequence, because at that point I'm saying, these are all of the ways you can work with me, right? So I'm giving them an overview of my business, but I'm not necessarily selling in that email. It probably will sell, but it's not the purpose of the email. You got to remember that whenever you link somebody out of your email, the chances of them coming back and looking at anything else are very, very slim. So always have the call to action be the thing that you really, really want them to do, whether that's a reply, joining a Facebook group, subscribing to your podcast, whatever it happens to be, just make sure that there's that one action. I think that's it.
Such great tips and things that we see all the time, for sure.
I was like, you probably got way more than you bargained for. I was like, oh, all the mistakes.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. And I know everybody else will too, because there's always so many questions about, you know, how often do I send my emails? What do I put in them? How do I do the call to action? Yeah. So great tips. Thank you.
So I think on that note, I think I get that question all the time, right? Like, how often should I email? What types of things should I talk about? Like, you know, people have so much insecurity around like, am I doing it right? And for me, I think it really goes back to, I like marketing to people the way I like being marketed to. And I really, really do believe that our audience, our followers, are somewhere along the journey that we ourselves are on, right? We're just a couple steps ahead of them. And so that means that my followers are like me. And that means, to me at least, that they have similar habits to the ones that I have. So, you know, I started looking at like, well, when do I check my inbox? How often do I like getting emails from people? What emails am I buying from? What are the subject lines that get my attention, right? And I started really kind of making a study of that. And I found out that like, that's just when I happen to send things out too. And those are what my emails kind of look like. And that's what my subject lines kind of look like. And it started working. And so I'm like, just do you. Like, whatever you do, just kind of assume that your audience is very, very similar to you. And I think you'll be safe.
That is so insightful. What a great tip. Yeah. I'm going to have to, like, thinking back through my inbox, I have to go take a look.
Yeah. I've noticed that, like, if companies email me that I like, I don't even read the email. I'm just like, oh, I needed to buy this thing from them. And I just click on the email, click on the link and go buy it. I'm like, did I even read it? No. I was just like, oh, it's that thing. You know?
Yep. I've totally done that.
See, oh, we're all gosh. Like, it's interesting. Like we put so, like, we totally overthink this, totally overthink it.
All the time. Like 24/7. Yes.
Yeah. We all have master's degrees in overthinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So one. Oh, sorry. What was that?
Oh, I said, just hit send. You'll be fine.
Yes. Just do it. Like, just do it. All right. So you explained your journey that you've been on here. One thing I like to ask is, what is something that has happened to you personally or in your business transformationally that you never even expected?
Ooh. So the first year that I was in business as a coach, I think I made $34,000. And that was the most money I'd ever made in my entire life. Like, I was just like, what? This is amazing. Like, I can actually make money. And last year I crossed multiple six figures, and I never thought that would happen. Like, I just never thought it would happen. It was not a goal. It wasn't like a stretch goal. It wasn't like it was never a thought for me. You know, and I think to realize that it happened, and it happened within, like, I don't know, like really probably 12 months, probably within a year, I went from making, like, you know, high six figures to multiple six figures. And it just, it changed my life. Like, it changed my life because I finally solved the money problem for myself. And when I solved the money problem for myself, the most amazing thing happened. And it was, so I have to kind of back up for a second. When I was in the inner circle room, and I would go into all of those meetings with Russell and all these like super amazing entrepreneurs, they would always talk about how it wasn't about the money and they really just wanted to make an impact in the world. Right. And I was sitting there and I was like, you guys are so full of crap. I can't even believe it. Like, do you even believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth right now? Cause I don't for a hot second. Right. But I hadn't solved the money problem for myself. And these were all people who had. And so crossing that milestone for myself and solving the money problem for me really allowed me to kind of take a step back and say, okay, within reason, I can pretty much do whatever I want at any point right now. Why do I keep growing this business? Like, why keep going? Why keep trying? Why keep pushing? Why keep, innovating? And I thought about all of this, the writers that I have on my staff and all of the businesses that I'm able to help and all of the lives that are able to be changed because of the things that we write. And I felt like a beauty queen for a second because I was like, I really do want world peace. Like, I really want to make an impact in the world now. You know, like, it's not about making my life better anymore. It will get better. And that's awesome. But I can actually help other people solve their money problem and make their lives better. And so I think that switch, like, it wasn't about the multiple six figures or anything like that. It was really about the switch from like, I'm trying to solve the money problem for myself to like, I want to start making an impact in the world, and super, super unexpected. So I think those are kind of two unexpected things that happen like simultaneously for me.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I love how once you cross that threshold, it's like all of a sudden it's like a goal set and then reset that just happens.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden all of your levels and perspective just like flip.
Yeah. And it's amazing the people that come into your space when you operate from that space, you know, where it's like, listen, am I going to make money? Yeah, I'm going to make money. Like it's not a thing anymore, right? Like I can't even explain what that feels like to just be like, I know how to make money, right? Like there is an abundance, like that I'm not in a scarcity of money or of anything anymore. Like I'm like, I know, I trust in my ability, right? Back to the self-confidence. Like I trust in my ability to figure it out. I know that I can add value and someone will always, always reciprocate with payment. That's just how it happens. I forgot what I was going to say, but it's like, it's just such a powerful feeling. And to know that I can also change somebody's life, right? Whether I'm giving them a job or I'm helping them grow their business. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Amazing. And I love the impact that you've already had and the path of where you're going. It's so exciting. And I just love your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show here. Are there any final words, anything else that you'd like to share?
Just show up, you know, whatever it is that you do, just show up and be yourself, because there is no business or relationship that you can create by not being yourself that will be sustainable, because you will eventually be tired of showing up as something that you're not. And if you just show up and allow yourself to be seen, like I said earlier, for everything you are and everything you're not, you will attract the exact right person for you who you can help and who needs to hear your message. So just get out there, share your message, share your story, and watch magic happen.
Just press send.
Yeah, just hit send.
Awesome. All right. So Yada, if people want to find you online, where should we send everybody?
You guys can go to yadagolden.com, and it's YaraGolden. I always have to spell it for people. Or, you mentioned the challenge earlier. You can go to subscriberreviver.com and join us in the challenge. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I highly recommend it. Everybody go do it and join the VIP group.
I like it when other people sell for me.
It's amazing. Yes. All right, thank you so much, Yada. I really appreciate it.